Oh, I had a question. In last week's write-up for the podcast, mm-hmm. there was a little insert publisher's note about Wood Talk and how you had something to contribute. Was that Dan writing that in your voice?
No, that was me. No, that was
you
me.
You actually did. I was reading it. I was like, "That I think that's actually Dustin."
Yeah.
I actually Wood Talk
contributions
Wood
Talk. And I, yeah.
I we missed.
Completely
we
missed it. Yeah.
Wait, are you saying that you don't, you no longer have a Wood
Well, I can talk about the thing that I did 2 weeks ago for Wood Talk.
We don't, I mean, we can, you can just tell us right now.
It was, I replaced the gasket. Makes, I mean, huge difference.
The gasket, is that the thing that seals?
Yeah, the little string that seals the thing. And like, if that's broken, you get so much air and then like your wood will burn like,
quickly.
Super fast.
Yeah.
But once you fix it, then now I can go to bed and wake up and there's still coals.
That's
I don't have
awesome.
To get up in the middle of the night. Yeah.
How did you notice that it was, because it wasn't like broken, I assume. It was just kind of.
It kind of disintegrates like once a year at least. And then you have to go and find a new gasket.
Yeah. Yeah. They sell them at all the hardware stores.
I didn't know that it's this time. And I thought they only sold it at the wood stove place, and I went to the wood stove place after Thanksgiving and it was closed. I'm like, shit. And then I looked it up. All right, I'll go to the hardware store.
Yeah.
And I went to the hardware store and they didn't have the right kind, but I made it work.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like the True Value will have some,
right.
But it's like, yeah, if you know your model and like there's an actual wood stove store, you can,
right.
They'll have what you need. Man, I should probably check our gaskets.
Well, I mean, if your wood is burning fast, like, then you would know. Like, if it doesn't, like, just that seal of the window, you know, it was basically the glass pane. There's like a sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah, it's the.
Right.
Yeah, it's the edge. Well, yeah, I mean, our wood burns pretty quickly, but we have kiln dried wood right now. We're putting all the air into it because we want it to burn really hot. Because we were having a problem where our chimney was getting too much creosote in it. So right. we try to keep the temperature up, which burns the wood quickly.
So. I see. I just like it when you get like a big, like 6 inches of like coals at the bottom.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good time.
And then like, you don't have to, like, as soon as you put a log on, it just catches immediately. Like, you don't have to, you have to sit there like,
right.
like with the door cracked, like waiting. Yeah.
But sometimes you like open the door and like coals come out. She's like, shit. And like, dog, get away, get away.
For sure. Like, my cat is so obsessed with the wood stove, and there are times where she's like, it's like not like when we're first starting it, you know, and it's been cold in the house for a bit, and you know, she's like really wants that stove going, and so she's getting closer and closer, and you open the door to try and put wood in, and she's just like getting ready to climb in. I'm like, no, no.
Yeah. I've had it going now consecutive since the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just not had to restart it.
Nope. Just kept it going.
It's pretty impressive. That is a very good installment of Wood Talk.
There you go, Dan.
I'm just.
All right. Well, we might as well start there, I guess. I don't know. Who even, I don't know what, I'm with the people now. I was pro Wood Talk, but maybe now I'm against it. I don't know.
Wait, are the people against Wood Talk? Or have the people spoken?
I feel like the people have spoken about most of our segments.
Wait, you didn't care for Wood Talk? This Wood Talk we just had?
Oh, it was
a gasket.
I mean,
it was a story of success.
I got to wander my imagination for about 3 minutes.
You didn't listen.
Honestly, what it made me think was, as you're describing fire, I was thinking about Survivor and the idea of like trying to make fire on Survivor, and how
they want to kick off that 19-year-old because he's good at fire.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, they did it.
Yeah.
So
because he's
that's what I expected.
Who said that he was 22? But
right, which was a weird thing. He's like, who cares?
that's where you know Survivor is a purely like fabricated setup, because if it was an actual Survivor scenario, the person who could make fire would be the most valuable person.
Right. Well, you keep them around just until there's a challenge at the very end where like the last spot in the finals goes to someone who it's the last two people who are left to be, one of them will be eliminated by like the two of them racing to make fire. Right. So the one who makes fire in that moves on.
Oh. And you don't want to bring that guy to the end because he'll kick your butt.
Right.
And this guy was really good at fire. And you should, I guess apparently you shouldn't let people know that you're good at fire.
Won't they see it? Or you just refuse to make fire for people?
Well, I don't know. Like in the beginning, the first half of the show, it's good. You want to keep people like that. But then the last half of the show, you want to get rid of people like that. And that's sort of like the nature of Survivor.
Mm-hmm. I know.
You almost want to be like good enough to do it, but not like amazing.
Right.
It's like weirdly like most things on Survivor. Like you don't want to be the best at any one thing.
Yeah, because you have then to be just mediocre.
Yeah, Survivor really rewards mediocrity.
You have to look mediocre, but be good.
Yeah.
So who are you rooting for at this point?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm pretty much in the tank for Jesse.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, I like Jesse. I'm team Cody though.
Cody is obnoxious, and Cody is
LIVIN, man.
Oh yeah. You're not from Hawaii, Cody. You seem nice enough, but you're not from Hawaii. You're from Iowa.
I know. But he's like this Iowan with Hawaii. He's got like this whole, like, I don't know. Iowa plus Hawaii is like New Hampshire, I think. It's like a weird sort of like. He's like a hick. I don't know what that means. He's like a.
That has
like
nothing to do with Hawaii.
I know. I was going to say.
No, I know. But for some reason, like this guy, like Molly is absolutely in love with this guy. She's like, he just like speaks to me in a weird way. And he is. He's like redneck McConaughey.
Is he just like a living hacky sack?
No, he's not like that. He's more like a mulleted New Hampshire kind of guy. He really is.
Like if you mix that with a surfer somehow.
Mm.
Like a lumberjack, but just.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. He's like an elevator salesman.
I don't get the New Hampshire part. But.
Elevator salesman. Do they even have elevators in New Hampshire?
I don't know. Do they have elevators anywhere? Like in Iowa or Hawaii?
Oh, we got some elevators.
Well, I'm sure. But he sells them. Is there like a big market?
Actually, speaking of, on my walkabout today, I went past the one like elevator depot on Pine Street in Burlington, and I was like, that's probably the five buildings in the state that have elevators all have to, and they're all hospitals, and they all have to deal with this one, you know, factory. But it's like, it's not even the street front. It's like there's a warehouse building, and it's like if you want to get to the elevator depot, you got to go around the corner and go to the back. That's how they sell elevators.
So Dustin, you're going for Cody?
Yeah, and I feel like either next week they're gonna figure it out and either go for Cody or Jesse.
I think whichever one of them survives that attack will be the one to we'll have a good shot.
Yeah.
But anyway. Well, all this is staying in. I'm just starting the show.
Good.
Welcome to another episode of Pajiba, the Pajiba television podcast. I'm Pajiba comedy editor Dan Hamamura. With me, as always, our Pajiba managing editor Tori Preston.
Hello, Dan.
Hello, Tori. And he wants you to know that 1899 is between 1883 and 1923.
Those are all three television shows.
Calendar expert Dustin Rolls.
That's right. Oh, Dan, I did want to mention while we were talking about Survivor that the family and I have really gotten into the mole this week, thanks to you.
Oh, what do you think so far?
We like it. It's overproduced, mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. And I wish that they had players that were. Older, they all seem to be like 28, mm-hmm. like 22 to 28 and attractive. And that's a little annoying.
I think the oldest one is Joy. She's like 40.
Yeah. Oh, you think she's 40?
Well, I mean, I looked it up.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah. Wow.
But yeah, most of them are like mid to late 20s.
Yeah. We like it a lot, and but it's on Netflix, so they do this thing where they like cliffhanger it at the end of every episode, which is like really
to keep you into the binge.
Yeah,
right. But you usually don't see that with sort of like reality competitions, where at the end of the episode they make you wait till the next episode to find the results of that episode.
I mean, that that also came from like The Bachelor, though.
Oh, did it? I don't want
The Bachelor like. At a certain point, switched up their format where they would do rose ceremonies like mid next episode, and it like it kind of like it just like messed with the format in a way that like.
So you have to wait a week for that.
Not they wouldn't like cliffhanger it in the same way as this. Like this show is pretty much just cliffhanger because you always find out in like the first 5 minutes of the next episode.
Right, and so basically what we do is just watch the first 5 minutes of the next episode. Yeah,
yeah. But The Bachelor and The Bachelorette they switched it where it was like. A third of the way through the episode sometimes. Like, it wasn't all the time, but, like, sometimes they would push. They would, like, have a rose ceremony early in the episode and then, like, do other stuff. And I don't know why I know this. So
yeah, Dan Hamamura.
Allegedly.
Bachelor expert.
Love Bachelor.
I've dabbled.
The format thing, though, we had to do the start the next episode to get through the first 5 minutes thing for one show. There was one episode of the new Quantum Leap where they broke the format. Cause you know, the normal format is like at the end of the episode, Ben leaps. And so you at least know what the setting will be for the next episode. And there was one episode where they didn't do that.
That was the sixth episode because that was originally the pilot.
Right. So, And so my husband was like, well, where the fuck is he leaping? And we had to, to start the next episode and just get to like the through the cold open so we could see what the setup was. And then Juan was like, okay, well, we'll stop it here.
I think
That was where that was.
I do like the mole. I really like the challenges and like, they are like little escape rooms and they're, complex and complicated. They're dumb people. They're just, and that's the thing. That's what makes it so successful because you don't know if they're mole or dumb.
Right.
And it's really hard to tell the difference.
There's a problem though in that
can't
like.
Can they be both?
Possibly. But the thing that I really, it makes it kind of impressive as a game to play. Like impressive meaning like difficult and also kind of hard to watch sometimes is that because all of the subterfuge is happening during the challenges, like it's so everything's like versus Survivor where there's a very specific competition segment where it's just the challenge, right? And then and then there's a segment where it's just people scrambling and trying to figure out who's voting for who. But because this one is about someone's trying to sabotage a challenge, all of that's happening at once, and you can't. It's hard to watch and like because you're just watching kind of the challenge to see if they'll do it. But then also part of you probably is trying to be like, is someone deliberately trying to mess with this or are they just editing this to look like they're trying to mess with this? And the same thing for them, I'm sure, when you're competing where you're like, you have to pay attention to everything that's happening around you while also trying to complete this challenge.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's real easy to look like you're missing something or to look foolish or to miss something that you should get because you were worrying about like, what you know your supposed partner just did and like if they screwed something up or not.
Yeah, right. But it also happens to be like one of those you have to work as a group but you win as an individual, and these particular people are really bad at working as a group.
That part's because true.
It doesn't benefit them individually, so they just like
So they're kind of sabotaging themselves.
Wait, how far in are you, Dustin?
I think we're midway through the fourth episode. Like the thing that happened with Joy where she tanked.
The bidding?
Yes. Oh, my God.
The bidding happened.
Like, that happened in the last episode. Okay, and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah. Not to completely spoil it, but Tori, but there was a point where people can bid to try to like basically protect themselves. And they have to get, they have to answer a question correctly, but it's highest bidder wins. But I might have talked about this other. But anyway, they bid, but then the whatever you bid gets taken out of the pot,
right?
And, which is the group pot,
like the group pot, And the person who did it bid a lot, who one like, did a lot.
Like almost the entire pot.
For something that would only help them.
Only yes. It only helps them only in that next elimination.
Right.
So it's basically being like, safe for what? One elimination.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I really need to watch this show.
Have you finished the season yet?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm done.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Were you surprised by who the mole was? Don't tell. Yeah. I'm just curious if you were surprised.
I wasn't that surprised based on the way it played out. But it wasn't who I thought it was at first, put it that way.
Okay. All right.
About how far into the season did they come onto your radar as like a...
Oh, it was pretty late. Like it was like within the last maybe three episodes maybe.
Okay.
Huh.
Because there were a couple of times where there were people who I thought it was and then they'd get eliminated. So.
There you go.
Yeah.
What happens if the mole, like, is there any possibility that the mole could get eliminated? Like, do the people vote? Okay.
So,
because you're trying to find out.
Yeah, you're answering trivia questions about the mole.
Right.
And so the mole, in theory, should be able to answer those correctly every time.
Right. Okay. So that, yeah.
Yeah, it took me a while to understand that too until I actually watched the show. I couldn't.
And they never fully show the quiz. So it's still kind of fuzzy in terms of like, it's kind of like, were they on this team or that team? Or like, is it a man or a woman? Or were they wearing a jacket today? You know, it's like that kind of stuff. So it's all kind of stuff that looks like it's, again, it could kind of be anything.
Right.
So you have to pay attention to everything. So you have to survive, you have to have a decent idea of who it is, but also be smart enough to like spread it out. So you're not just, if you're wrong, you're not just focusing on one person, but then you also have to know enough about what everybody's wearing or what they were doing or where they were to be able to spread it out. So it feels like it'd be real easy to just get confused.
Well, get confused, or you just play the odds because it's like, okay, well, if there are two teams, you 50% chance you're right. If half the people were wearing jackets, 50% chance you're right.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's interesting.
It's fun. Yeah. I feel like it'll be better like in the fifth season once they like figured out all the.
Well, I mean, this is like season six, technically.
Well, I know, but it's the first season with Netflix.
Right.
And hopefully Netflix will sort of like stop overproducing it, basically.
And I feel like the older mole was pretty different, not just because of Anderson Cooper.
It was, I mean, this was the basic format.
It was still escape roomy. I can't remember.
It was challenges. It was probably a little bit more like Survivor type challenges.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of stuff of like, oh, you got to do that. You have to accomplish this task. And if you do, you know, the team wins 10 grand or whatever.
Yeah. Have you guys ever done escape rooms?
I do them a lot.
I've done them a couple times.
Love escape rooms.
Yeah. We actually did it last week. The family goes.
Yeah.
And my kids are better than me.
Well, it's also a skill. Like I love the little, like the stupid little mobile games or whatever, where it's like escape room. Like you have to figure out the clues and like remember stuff. And yeah.
There was one that I did where it was like you're trapped and like, it was like one of those where it's like, oh, you're trapped and there's a killer who's trying to kill you kind of thing. And at one point, like you unlock a room and then there's an actor in there who's like playing another person who's trapped in there.
See, that's
and
the fun of living in LA.
And like she can like, in this case, it was like I don't think you were limited in what you could ask her, but like you could kind of try to get her to open up and like give you hints.
Yeah.
But she's supposed to be like traumatized. So she's like saying nonsense, right?
Yeah.
But it was very funny because like we just missed it by like we were like maybe 90 seconds away from solving it when we ran out of time. And then this woman who's like pacing the room and like acting traumatized, the moment the buzzer sounds, she like pops up and she smiles. She's like, oh man, I thought you guys had it. And she's like, okay. It was like, oh, thank God. You're like,
you're okay.
Just an actor because you were real intense there.
See, that's the cool thing about LA. Like in Portland, like I've already done all the escape rooms and I just have to wait until like they come up with like a new escape room. Like one of the places changes like, one
change
of the rooms.
Up, yeah.
Right. So, but in LA, there's probably like an endless number of escape room places.
I mean, I've only been to two, but I'm sure there's a bunch.
Well, I guess in LA, you have other things to do too, like Dodgers games, Rams games.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to do.
We have escape rooms.
and lobster rolls.
Yes, yes.
So there are some benefits, Dustin.
Sure, yeah.
Outside of The Mole and Survivor, there's a lot of other television to talk about at Is some there? Point. Well, we got stuff on the list. Before we get to that, real quick, what's everyone drinking? Dustin.
I am drinking tonight my second favorite beer, which is a farmhouse pale ale from the Oxbow Brewing Company.
Ooh.
Is that the only thing you have in front of you?
I actually have another Allagash as the backup because I don't want to drink too many Oxbows because they're really good and kind of expensive. So I kind of like...
And Allagash is not expensive?
Not as expensive. Allagash is like the Sam Adams of Portland, Maine.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. You don't know Sam Adams because you're not from New England.
I've had Sam Adams before.
It's a national brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah.
They do ads, Dustin. I watch TV. Talk about their autumn ale. Tori, what about you?
I'm actually not drinking tonight, but I'm drinking a weird Trader Joe's. I don't know if anyone would like this. I really like it. They have these sparkling apple cider vinegar. it's like seltzer.
God. Oh, no.
Oh.
It's got ginger and lemon and a little bit of apple cider vinegar. And it's
no.
It's okay.
It's only a little bit. It's not like apple cider. Yeah. It's like, what is it? It's sparkling water, 1 tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, and then apple, ginger, and lemon flavors.
Okay.
One teaspoon is too many teaspoons.
That's better.
Vinegar makes me gag. I just hate the smell of vinegar.
No, but I think it also has, you don't really smell it. And the other things in it kind of sweeten it enough that it's not super like acidic. Mm-hmm. It's actually quite refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Your reaction was amazing though.
I really hate vinegar.
I just remember.
Like, so even pickles? Anything that's vinegary?
I don't particularly care for pickled things because the smell of vinegar. Like, I don't mind eating the pickles. I just don't like the smell of the pickle jars, really.
Huh.
I don't like to touch the pickle jar. It just gets on me, and I'm like, oh, I really don't like the smell.
So you can't do, like, what is it, pickleback shots?
No. That was like when my son, to torture me, when he was in the hospital, he was like, I said, you have to drink this. He goes, only if you drink a cup of pickle juice. So I had to drink pickle juice, and it was the worst. It was the fucking worst. So disgusting.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to live forever, Dustin.
Yeah.
Is that pickle juice. So well preserved.
Yeah.
See, that's why you have it with whiskey.
Yeah. How about you, Dan? What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Okinawan beer again, Orion, because it's what I have. So.
But you also enjoy it.
Oh yeah, I like it. I just don't go through beer very quickly. So, you know, there was a 6-pack that I bought last week.
Do you drink on nights other than the podcast?
Sometimes,
but not nightly.
Drive you to drink?
I don't know that I would say that you drive me to drink. I think that the process is improved with a little bit of drinking.
In moderation, obviously.
In moderation, obviously.
Not like it's a whole jug of, you know, let's say Grey Goose or whatever, for example. Well,
that's a rare occasion that really Dustin, we're all glad that that was a one-time thing. All right. We should talk TV probably.
We've been talking TV.
We should talk about other TV.
It's just none of the shows that we actually came here to talk about.
We, in theory, had a bunch of shows that we were going to talk about. It's fine. I mean, most of them are not new, and some of them are shows I've never heard of. And some of them are shows I haven't seen. One of which is Kung Fu, which Tori loves to bring up every week with Kung Fu Corner.
Well, I just think if I talk about it enough, maybe you'll watch it, Dan. Like, maybe you'll give it a shot.
Maybe. I mean, look, at this point, they're, 34 episodes in, and it seems it's just a lot to catch up on, you know?
So specific. It's really impressive. You wouldn't have known that if you hadn't been counting all of my Kung Fu Corners.
Right. I mean, this is your 34th Kung Fu Corner. Yes. That's the only reason why I know that.
Well, probably technically 33rd because I missed the premiere, but that's neither here nor there. So Kung Fu, technically last week, it was a big episode, and it makes it even more frustrating because the show is now on a hiatus for the winter. It's not coming back until February. So this is kind of the last you're going to see. And they kind of, it ends on not necessarily a cliffhanger, but a real worrisome emotional note. So this is the episode where Nikki kind of puts together that Bo is the bad guy and is specifically the Harvester. Mm-hmm. She figures it out because of at the end of the previous episode, that was when Pei Ling was overtaken by Zhao, the alchemist, and tried to stab her mother. And so the whole family was kind of in disarray. And Nikki kind of thinks about it and realizes we thought we had the alchemist was supposed to be in the sword. We gave the sword to Bo. The alchemist is out again. How did this happen? It's probably Bo. But we also find out through this, so it's a lot of Nikki hunting Bo to try and track down Pei Ling, to try and again save Pei Ling and stop the alchemist. But meanwhile, we're also following Bo and we're getting Bo's backstory, and he is a traveler like Zhao. And it's kind of sad because, he really is a bad guy. But he was also manipulated by her from childhood. So it's this whole thing where his traveler powers were activated when he was a kid. He ended up in this imaginary land, and Zhao trained him to help him get home, mm-hmm. but also was training him to help her through all of her various schemes, into adulthood. So she is his Shifu, and he's always believed in her. And so it's while Nikki is figuring out the kind of the extent of his betrayal, he's also figuring out the extent of Zhao's betrayal and realizing that she isn't misunderstood. All those souls that he gathered for her, she wasn't saving them. She really was absorbing them, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So he's realizing that she's the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And he gets to a point where he actually tries to stand up to her and she gets away. But right then Nikki walks in and I think assumes the worst, that he actually let her get away rather than just, kind of getting overtaken. So she beats the crap out of him and it's not pleasant. And then she kind of has a breakdown other storylines. Nikki's dad is still running for office, but now it's getting dirty between him and Anthony? Mm-hmm. The guy who he used to work for, but now he's running against.
Right.
Jin gets the dirt that was actually what was being used to blackmail Anthony, and it's photos of, it's basically proof that he had been paying off drug dealers because his brother is an addict or something. And so the whole thing is his platform is being very hard on crime, but he's protecting his brother by paying off these drug dealers. So he's, he's a hypocrite. And Jin is I'm not going to will not use it. No going after families. And at the end of the episode, he finds out that Anthony is going to go after his family. And so all the stuff about Nikki being a vigilante is going to come out, which is sort of can you imagine going after your political opponent and being your child stops too much crime? I'm really waiting to see how that goes out. But obviously he finds this out and goes to talk to Nikki about it. And it's literally while Nikki is washing the blood off her evil ex-boyfriend off of her hands. So there's a lot of drama going on. But on the lighter side of things, her mom figured out how to make a very good frozen dumpling. So that's great. And now we have to wait to see where all of that is going. I think that was everything.
Right. Cool. I mean, it sounds like there's a lot going on every week.
Every week, you know. But I will say, to Henry's credit, he did not do a big I told you so. Mm. He was supportive without being, you know, he could have been a real asshole about it. And he wasn't. So I guess, you know.
That's why Henry
is the wins. Better. No, will win. He will win by default.
Do you have any predictions for where it goes when the show returns?
When the show returns. All right. It's hard. I mean, I don't really know. I feel like this kind of stumped me. Like this, where it ended is such a, like, I wasn't expecting Nikki to go that violent. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is like, what does that mean for her character and where is she going to go from there? And that's what I kind of can't predict.
Right.
I'm hoping that Jalon kind of helps her out with that. I think that's a great opportunity because that's, you know, she's probably the one character that understands. Mm-hmm. I'm curious if this means that Bo is on his way out or if actually there's a chance for his character to be redeemed. Cause mm-hmm. we all now know that he's not completely evil. He was used.
Right.
So it's, how will he communicate that to everyone else? And I'm weirdly invested in cause this is the thing. Jin is not going to play dirty. Mm-hmm. So how is that going to work with, I mean, where I see that going is, I feel like Anthony is will bring up all this dirt about Nikki or whatever. And then the community is just going to remember that, like, oh yeah, Nikki and that family saved us during the earthquake. And Anthony will accidentally get Jin elected.
And then once he's elected, he can run the place like Kevin Costner in Yellowstone.
Yes. But not like Harrison Ford in older
Yellowstone. You guys don't realize that Kevin Costner's character is the governor now of Montana in Yellowstone.
All of Montana.
Oh. Yes, all of Montana. He became governor for one specific reason, to stop an airport from being built. And he doesn't want to be the governor. He hates being governor, and he ran because this airport threatened his land. So he is now stuck as governor for 4 years.
There was no other way to stop this airport.
Apparently, yeah.
Do governors have airport veto privileges?
He was able, I guess, he was able to stop construction on this thing.
Like
he pulled the permits or whatever, the zoning. I don't know. And now, like, the company is suing the state or something. I don't know. Sorry, I didn't mean to go off on Yellowstone.
No, now I'm fascinated.
Yeah. And how does this tie into 1899?
Well.
it was all a simulation.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
I think Yellowstone jumped the shark a bit when they turned this show about ranchers into giving Kevin Costner the governorship when he doesn't want it.
But this is the thing. It just means that he needs to find a way to get out of the governorship. Like, mm-hmm. that's actually a perfect dramatic thing. Like, yeah, so now it's like, how does he get out? And so what if he manufactures some sort of scandal so that he loses the governorship? I don't know.
Right. Like, how do you let go of power without it making you look foolish?
Well, he probably wants his son to take it out. Well, his adopted son at some point, but his adopted son's kind of a screw up. It's Wes Bentley.
He's adopted?
Yeah, and he's killed a couple of people, but whatever.
Wait, he wants Wes Bentley to take over the ranch or to take over the governorship?
The governorship.
That's not something you can pass down.
Well, he's the attorney general now, so I'm sure there's some
but
sort
he
of secession.
People?
Well, yeah, including his biological father. But, you know, he was just doing that in order to, like, impress his adopted dad.
Like Scandal.
There's well, a if lot he of... wanted to impress his dad, why didn't he stop the freaking airport? That's all his dad wanted.
There's just there's really a surprising number of murders in the show.
But no holes.
There are no holes, unfortunately. This week, which in a weird thing, the woman from Piper Parabo and Beth, Kelly Riley, the big centerpiece of this episode was this two of them having like a knockdown, drag out fight because Piper Parabo's character is a vegetarian and was complaining about the meat, the practices on the ranch. So Beth takes her out in the yard and just beats the shit out of her. And they just like keep punching each other. And then it was supposed to be like kind of hot or whatever. I don't know, man.
Wait, is it Piper Parabo or Piper Parabo?
I don't know.
I think it's Parabo.
Parabo? Okay. Well, the point is they got in a huge ass fight and the hot guy who doesn't look Cole Hauser sort of – he didn't break it up. He just kind of watched it and was like, you guys just get it out of your system. And at first, he was like, you just got to stop fighting and rolling around and just stand there and punch each other in the face. You got to swap blows until somebody gives up.
So who won?
Beth. Beth did win. And then they became friends, the vegetarian and the crazy person.
Ranchy lady. Mm-hmm. Punching, yeah. I mean, I feel like you get into a fight like that and you either walk away friends or
right, yeah.
You continue just being enemies. Like you will either make up or you will never make up.
Right.
And at the end of the episode, the governor decides to go on like a 2-day horse ride with all of these people. I don't know where they're going. They're just going on a horse ride just to show like the people.
But Kevin Costner, governor.
Yeah. They're just going to show, you know, the people of Montana what it's like to be like own a ranch.
Is this the crossover with Big Sky?
Kind of, yeah.
They're going to go up a mountain and then like a backpacker will fall over. And then,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
What's his name? Will come out of the woods and carve people. I don't know. God, I almost feel like I should watch Yellowstone.
No, well, it's intriguing. If you start, you won't be able to stop.
Yeah, that's a problem. But wait, so Yellowstone seems like a very dramatic. You can't
possibly be interested in this. Okay, yeah, it is dramatic.
No, I'm more interested in, I like hearing, I feel like you need to recap Yellowstone every week because I'm very interested in hearing you talk about it, but mostly mm-hmm. because it just makes me want to grab the writers and be like, no, all of this is unnecessary. Why are you doing this? But how does that compare to the prequels? Like, are they the same level of like weird political / family / whatever drama? Or is it all very kind of, are they almost like different genres?
Well, we've only seen one prequel so far. And that was 1883. And that was just like a brutal, brutal walking the Oregon Trail. And basically everyone died in so many different ways.
That must have been a limited series then.
Yes, yes. And yeah, it was just one season. It was bleak, really bleak. But they ended up in the end, they lost their daughter and they buried, and wherever she died is where they buried her, and that's Yellowstone.
So Montana.
Yeah. So they did not make it.
Taylor Sheridan is the sole credited writer on Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Since season 3.
That sounds right.
Do you think the other writers left or he just decided he didn't need them?
I don't know, but yeah, since season 3 every episode is Taylor Sheridan. Which is a real and also every episode of 1883.
Yeah, I feel like he writes all the prequels. Yeah. But he does not write Tulsa King.
Well,
that's
no.
Terrence Winter.
But he did write all of Mayor of Kingstown. At least season
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
That's pretty prolific.
Yeah.
Imagine
they're pretty basic. They're all basically Sons of Anarchy episodes with different sort of people, with different professions of people.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. And he started out on Sons of Anarchy, and it really does feel like a lot of times.
As an actor, just, he was an actor.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It does feel like these are just, this is Sons of Anarchy on a ranch, and that sort of thing. And Mayor of Kingstown is like Sons of Anarchy in a, whatever, in a yeah. prison.
Huh. Tulsa King is Sons of Anarchy with well, no, because gangsters.
That's a little different. That's more like a Sopranos set in Tulsa, but that's Terrence Winter.
But with comedy.
Yes, because Stallone is just like, he's kind of naturally funny, I think. You wouldn't expect it. But you watch this, it's, he's really kind of charmingly funny. And you're like, oh my God, Stallone's really kind of fun.
Okay, but this is something I debate sometimes. Is he funny, like, intentionally? Or is it the sort of thing where, like, he doesn't realize it, but it comes off as funny?
I think it's somewhere right in the middle. Yeah. Right in the middle.
I can't like tell I think how sometimes much
yeah. I think he knows he's funny, but sometimes it's just like, yeah.
And look,
the fact that a guy that who looks like Stallone is saying these things is funny. Yeah.
Mm. And do you think he's in on the joke? Although I will say, right. what was the I loved Oscar. Do you remember? Like there were times
I remember
where
Oscar
yes. or like yeah. I mean it wasn't great, but it was like there were times when he intentionally was doing comedy.
Right. And I don't think an intentional comedy wouldn't work, but like a drama with some comedy in it.
Yeah.
Would.
Okay. Yeah.
It does. It reminds me a little of Rockford Files, weirdly. That I don't know why we got on Yellowstone, but there you go.
Yeah, no, I don't know either. But
yeah, sorry about that.
It's okay. It's just, you know, it's part of what you love to talk about, Dustin.
Mm-hmm.
You just love your biggest cable
ranch
dramas.
That's right.
Yellowstone,
Walking Dead's gone. Dead. So
many, both of them with so many spinoffs. It's great.
Oh yeah. So wait, largest cable show. So is Dustin just really basic? He just goes from the biggest to the biggest?
No. I'm the guy that runs a site that has to make money.
I mean, okay. If that's how you want to spin it. How does Three Pines fit into all of this? In terms of, you know, is it going to be a big thing?
Trying to figure out a segue. Oh, is it? No, it's not going to be a big thing. It's like a co-production between Britain and Canada.
Oh.
So it's that kind of show. But it's sort of, it's a murder mystery, but not a bleak one. It's like a Canadian-British murder mystery. I think it's set in Quebec.
Yeah, it's set in Canada. It's got Alfred Molina.
Yep.
It seems like very pleasant. Small town.
Yep.
Other than the murder.
Sure. Yes. But even the murder feels like it was like a bad woman in the first episode. Hmm. Well, the first two episodes it's like there's like a series arc, which is similar to the first season of Big Sky. It's Alaska, that show.
Oh, the newspaper. It's
about,
Alaska.
Yeah.
Thing?
It's about missing indigenous women. Hmm. But then there's. Within that, there's some murder mysteries, you know, cases itself that he's solving. He's like Poirot-ish.
Yeah.
Poirot. Yeah. Only Canadian.
Which is great. And Alfred Molina is delightful.
Yeah. It's like a really – it's based on a Louise Penny, and I think I read one of her – is she the one that wrote with Hillary Clinton, the mystery with Hillary Clinton?
Oh, I
think
she
is. I think she is, and I read that.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, just kind of cozy mysteries is what they call them. And this feels like a cozy mystery kind of show.
And Kaylee's really into it, but it's like this series, I mean, the books, there's like 17 of them or something.
Oh,
like it's
good,
a huge
good.
Series. Yeah.
I would love to watch this forever. I mean... It's just the kind of show that you just want to sit back and relax and watch.
So how does this compare to like a Harlan Coben Since that's another like many books.
I've watched all the Harlan Coben series. This is much more interesting. The Harlan Coben are just really basic, but very bingeable.
Okay.
Mysteries. This is it's more character driven by this Alfred Molina character. He's like a really cool guy. You like love him.
Yeah.
So he's a fun. I mean, I think he really is like a Canadian Poirot.
Yeah, and like he could keep it going.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I gotta try it. I forgot it already started. Yeah,
it's yeah. I think you'll like it a lot. All right, I gotta be right back.
All right. Well, Dustin disappears to, I don't know, let Penny
walk the dog. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, Tori, are you caught up on Mythic Quest?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to bring it up briefly, only to say that, like, so I'm still enjoying Mythic Quest, but this season it's felt a little slow as they kind of like reshuffle everyone and kind of reset, especially with like the new company. So people are split into kind of like different. Like the storylines feel very silos. Distinct in a way. And yeah, siloed is a good word. But I feel like this past episode, which was number 5, was kind of the one where it started to lock in.
Yeah. And it is weird because it's felt like because it's been a little like every week I'm like, oh, it feels very early in the season.
Right.
And I was shocked when I was like, oh no, it's already episode 5.
Right.
So I'm glad it's starting to lock in, but it definitely, you're right. It definitely like kind of took a little bit.
Yeah. But kind of when they finally got to, kind of Poppy's like kind of minor breakdown, which was, but it was, I don't know. It was just a nice, I thought it was a nice moment and like a nice, Because she's kind of like in a place now where she's finally ready to launch into what seems like will actually be the thing she's working on after kind of like scrambling and like figuring out why isn't this working. And then on the Mythic Quest side, the storyline with Naomi Ekperrigan's character has kind of like coalesced to where now she and like everyone who's been with her, which is mostly Danny Pudi and Ashley Birch, they're all kind of like now in place for the next, for like what, like the launch of like their story almost.
Yeah.
But it took, I guess, half the season to get us to this point.
And it is weird to me that like, I did find it satisfying, like the twist with Poppy, having her kind of realize that Hera, it just is not working. And actually this dumb, crappy, like tool essentially that she made to get, what's her character's name?
Dana,
to get Dana off her back. Like that ended up being the thing that like is fun.
Right.
But it's so, because I feel like we were hearing about Hera from like last season, like what the grand vision of Poppy. And I do think there's something about like, I completely buy that Poppy is capable of this wonderful thing that ultimately is just not fun. And she couldn't figure out how to make it fun. And if she needed to go back to basics, what I'm hoping is that this is, they work on the basic thing, like developing this toolbox where people are just able to make their own games, essentially Nintendo Wii, like the, you know, but you can make your own games.
Yeah.
And that inspires her to then put it back into Hera. Cause it's like, I don't see the new game being it.
Right.
Like, I feel like that's still a step in the journey of the grand other, like the first game. I don't know. It took a while to get to this.
Yeah.
I do continue to like the development of Danny Pudi's character and how he still can't take, like, he can't really do anything, but he's still running things and trying. And I liked the reveal this episode that he's still kind of worried about like how involved he could be in without kind of essentially going evil again, even though he was never really evil.
Right.
Like, but yeah, is Ashley Birch's character ever going to, like, I guess she's just dropping out of school. Like, she's not gone to school this whole time.
Well, yeah. Cause she, I mean, it was funny cause it felt like that was going to come to some kind of head
Yeah.
In terms of like, oh, clearly. And I mean, they covered it a little bit in the brunch episode.
Right. Where she's like not happy there.
Yeah. She's not happy there, but they didn't actually have her like fully drop out or have anyone really confront her about it. But it's like, obviously right. Now she has this opportunity that I'm sure she'll take because if nothing else, it brings her back in the universe more.
Yeah.
And you know, it's.
But that was, again, it was another weird thing of like, it took five episodes of her like awkwardly being right. involved, but still dangling, like not right. being rooted. Everyone right. has felt not rooted. Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because it feels like they're now at a point where I don't know why this popped in my head, but after this last episode where it felt like, okay, everyone is kind of now at the starting line. And I was like, I bet next week is going to be the format breaker where they go like last year's. Yeah. One in the that took place in the 70s,
or the
Dark Quiet Death. I feel like they're, because I think it's usually episode 6 anyway, right? So
I think so.
I think they're gonna pause here and then do that.
Yeah, because how many? It's only 8 episodes a season.
How many episodes? I thought it was 10, but I could be wrong.
Oh, maybe yeah.
They've already been renewed for another season. So again, they also know that they have.
Yeah.
Another season of Runway, which is maybe why some of these stories are playing out a little slower. But
yeah. And I do hope I like the idea of the Mythic Quest movie. Like, I hope they go full on in the production of it, because I think that's like it's always been an interesting show in the sense of like it's about video games, but there's a limit to how much the reality of making a video game comes into it. And you mostly right. see it through like the monetizing or like right, some right, of the right. patches or something, but like,
right.
I think it would be kind of fun to see like the adaptation angle, like continue it. Like, okay, this game is set. Let's actually dig into like the problem of adaptation and go right. in Hollywood with it
yeah.
and what that does to David. Cause you still have Poppy and Ian like, getting another video game off the ground.
Right, right. And also, Rob McElhenney has not been in the show very much, which has been fine, but I'm sure it's because he was busy owning a football team.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't actually missed him that much.
No.
But it's more just been that, like, yeah, it felt like people have been... It didn't feel like things were reset until this episode almost.
Right.
Isn't Ryan Reynolds now buying another sports team? Did I see that?
I have no idea. But
I don't know.
Why? Why would you
I
do
guess
that?
He's got a lot of... Oh, money? He's buying a soccer... No. Wait.
No, he has a soccer team.
Yeah, no. I feel like it's a Canadian, maybe a hockey... I don't know. Ottawa Senators. He's trying
buying
to buy
the Ottawa Senators. I mean, that's not just him. That's an NHL team.
Yes,
he's not a billionaire,
and not just him. I think he's part of right. like a team, like a yeah.
Okay.
A board of buyers,
an ownership group.
Yes.
What is it, like him and Nathan Fillion and what other Canadians?
Isn't he from Vancouver? He's a Canucks fan. Why would he buy the Senators? Oh, is he going to run them into the ground?
Maybe they just happen to be the ones for sale.
Yeah,
I mean, he's not Welsh.
I mean, that's probably
that didn't stop him.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get off on that. I just remembered that.
No, that's all right.
Is he going to keep acting?
Like, where is he is. He was in Spirited. He said, I think it was after Spirited, he said he was going to take like a year off.
Yeah.
So I guess now we're not going to see him again on screen for a while.
Except in Welcome to Wrexham.
Right.
Season 2.
Right.
But I keep waiting for him to pop up in Mythic Quest.
Oh my God, right? That would be amazing. Why hasn't that happened?
But then I'm like, when does It's Always Sunny come back? Like, would he just do a cameo in that instead?
That makes more sense, probably.
Yeah. When are they? Well, I don't know. They kind of come and go.
I can never predict their seasons.
Yeah. They're kind of just like, when we are when we're all gathered to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they do a podcast once a week.
So they're gathered.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the real goal. It's, you know, it's like the, you know, you start a successful TV show and so that you can podcast about it. That's right. Really the truth.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we're doing this backwards.
Yeah.
We are. We should have had the Podjaiba TV show first.
Yes. So then the Podjaiba name would make sense.
Right. And we'd have something to recap every week.
I mean, we have a lot to recap. We just.
Sure.
We just don't.
It might help us have a focus.
All right. What else did we want to talk about?
I did want to briefly mention that. So I watch a lot of TV, and it's like.
Do you?
Dustin? I do. And I love that about my job. And like every night I go to, you know, I have dinner, I put the kids to sleep, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to have a couple hours now and just watch TV. And it's like my favorite part of the night. And then Firefly Lane comes on and I'm like, oh, fuck.
If you do that to yourself.
No, I mean, they're even bad shows. I don't mind so much, but this is so just, it's not, I don't even know why it's bad. It's just so.
Wait, this is the one with Katherine Heigl, right?
And Sarah Chalk.
Okay.
Who I love.
Right.
Who play like, you know, people their age, but also in flashbacks play people in their like early to mid 20s as the same characters. I mean, the same actresses.
Right.
Right.
Like they're teenage versions of them played by different actors.
Right.
But the early 20, mid 20s are played by the same actresses. And it's very jarring because they're clearly not.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
But that's, I mean, that's not why it's so bad. I mean, it's annoying.
Well, that was something that bumped me on Fleischman Is in Trouble when they had the flashback episode. Like,
oh, yeah. I was
like, oh, you're clearly not in college or even law school age. But anyway.
I didn't think Lizzie Kaplan or what's his face pulled it off, but I did think that Eisenberg could pull it off just by growing out his hair.
Mm. Also, I just feel like we've seen him.
Facebook character.
Yeah.
Maybe. Claire Danes looked like Claire Danes.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying Firefly Lane, for so many different reasons, is just, I like, terrible. Just terrible.
What is the plot of it? Just, are they sisters? Are they friends? Is there murder?
It's just like a best friend show. There's no murder. It's just like a soap opera about their lives. Heigl is like a television journalist and she's the producer, and then it's about how they met as kids and then got married and their sort of love life and how it all sort of like intersects throughout different time periods.
But without murder.
There's no murder.
And but there are different time periods, but no time travel.
Right. Correct. I just feel like there's a lot of opportunities to make this show interesting that they're really not. Yeah,
they don't take any of them.
It doesn't sound like a Dustin show.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
No zombies?
It's not really. No.
It's okay. Not the biggest hit on basic cable.
It is weirdly, I think, kind of a big, a lot of people watch it on Netflix. I think it's pretty popular, even though this is its second and final season. But it's broken up, and I didn't realize this. I was like, oh, at least it's only 9 episodes. And then I found out that that was part 1 of 2.
They're doing a Walking Dead.
So it's really like 3 seasons, but...
Yeah,
they just did a big second season.
But Netflix only does that with like super popular shows.
But again, it's like, then it's not the last season. Just call it like.
Right.
No, I know, but they're just, but they're going to do like the next 9 episodes like a month later, not like next year.
Oh, okay, it's not like okay.
Right. Like Stranger Things did like.
Oh, the 2 episodes.
Right.
Like, yeah, a couple weeks later.
And Manifest is going to do the other half at some point soon.
Yeah, when? Do we know?
They haven't said, no. Wouldn't that be funny if they canceled it midway through the season?
Isn't it still trending? Like, they're probably. Not going to
cancel. It's a big hit, Dustin.
I know, but I would just...
More like, Manifest.
Like the Moonhaven thing where they're like, yeah, sorry about that. I know we were going to
we were going to do it, but
we're.
I mean, I was real excited for season two of Moonhaven.
Were you?
Have I finished season one? No.
No.
Am I going to? Yes.
Not now.
Well, sure. What are you talking about? It's only six episodes. I've got like three episodes left.
Look, nothing is more upsetting than Losa Spookies getting canceled.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry. I felt for you when that happened.
Especially after I finally got Dustin to watch it.
Yeah, I know. That's a hard cancellation.
Is that? Yeah. Do you think that Dustin watching it was what canceled the show?
We've lost all of our cool.
Well, you have to be in balance, Dustin. So it's like, you know, you used your powers for good and
you saved Manifest.
Another show had to die and you killed those spookies.
And of course he killed the one with the, you know, Latin representation.
Right.
save the white man show. Feel like it's. I think we're really getting a theory here. We'll have to see how this continues.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're very quickly reaching the end of the podcast.
Oh, maybe. Shoot.
Okay. We were going to talk about SNL. We don't really have to. I know Dustin, you really liked this episode, and I did.
It was a really good episode. Yeah.
I was trying to figure out what made it a better than average episode.
I think the Arby's thing was like just really hysterical.
The Arby's sketch was kind of shocking in that like it didn't really make sense in terms, like there's nothing that it's not referencing anything specific right now, but it makes sense. Like everyone, if you watch TV, you know what ads they're referencing and you know kind of the insanity of what Arby's claims to
really five to roast beef sandwiches for $10. Right. Really?
Which is also not
leave the Taco Bell one. And I had to look that up and that was true. Yeah. I was like, what? Really?
Look, Arby's is Arby. I mean, I feel like I've said it on this podcast before, but Arby's, there weren't many Arby's in Hawaii. So when you happened upon an Arby's and got to eat it, it was kind of a treat.
I love Arby's because there were only a couple in years. They don't have them in Vermont, do they?
When I happen on them,
I've never had Arby's.
I would go to an Arby's.
The Arby's with the Arby sauce. Oh my god, it's really been 10 years.
Is it only roast beef?
No, they make a lot of stuff now, but they make a lot of weird stuff. So they have like, you know, they have chicken sandwiches and they have other kind of like beef adjacent things. But they also make gyros, which is like
Did
anyone ask like for a gyro from Arby's?
Yeah, like with lamb.
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
I like the French dip.
I don't know. I just like the regular recipe.
I would never imagine trusting that at a fast food place.
There's no reason you should trust a $2 roast beef sandwich.
But they're not. But that's the thing about the joke is that that's not even a real thing that's happening right now. Yeah. Like that campaign is fake. Like they've had other campaigns that were like too many sandwiches for too little money. Right. But they're not actually doing $5 for $10 right now.
They're not?
No. At least not anywhere that I know. They used to do like, I mean, this is 20 years ago now, but they used to when I was a broke high school student, so longer than 20 years ago, I remember they would do $5 for $5. And so you would go and get, and for $5, you'd get five regular Arby's sandwiches.
Yeah.
And
okay, $5 for $10 was 2021.
So it was last year.
Yeah.
Okay, well, why did no one tell me? Because I would have gone to Arby's.
I would too if I could find one.
But yeah, it is confounding that like look, it's all it is just like it's a cheap bun and thin sliced roast beef. It's not fancy.
But it's piles of
well yeah, but the regular sandwich is not that big.
Yeah, right.
When you get up to the other thing it always reminds me of is that they used to call the large a Big Montana. That was the biggest roast beef sandwich. And
so it's like a venti, but it's in state terms. It's like a venti, but it's
the Big Montana. And I never got one because I don't know. I just like the regular size. It's too much meat for the amount of bread. But
so they don't make the bread bigger. They just make the pile of meat.
The pile is just higher. But the movie, this is not a movie podcast, but the movie Saving Silverman with Amanda Peet, at one point kidnapped her and tied her up, and she's like, I'm hungry, and they're like, I'm fine, what do you want? And she demands a big Montana from Arkansas. And I don't remember anything else about the movie, but I do remember that.
And we were like, also, did you feel like you needed to reconsider the big Montana?
Well, I definitely wanted Arby's.
The roast beef is not that good without the Arby sauce or the horsey sauce.
No, I like it dry.
You do? Yes. Oh, Lord.
I feel like have to slather it in something. No, sauce. Right?
I just want the cheap bread and the piled beef.
Wow.
I feel like I don't that even needs know to what be the our horsey headline. Sauce is. Yeah. I want cheap bread and piles of beef.
You know what? Maybe I will. Maybe I will actually cut from within the episode. I don't know. We'll see. I'm very lazy.
It was that skit in the Kenan and Kel.
That one was very good, and it was also cool to see that they got actual Kel.
Yeah, that was fun.
Mitchell.
And I've never seen an episode of Kenan and Kel in my life, but that was fun all the same.
Anyway, I don't know that we ever actually saw. Oh, Hello Kitty was crazy.
That one got weird.
Do you think it was one of those where Kiki Palmer was such a fun host to write for? That they were able to go a little bit more outlandish with the skits. Do you think that improved it, or it just the writing was just better this time around?
Maybe. I mean, they've also had a little bit of a longer break, and I think Dustin, you've mentioned this before, that like when they come out of the break, they usually have a little more, like either more ideas or more energy, and they're not as exhausted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that might be part of it. Some of it is that, you know, they were able to give her kind of different stuff. So there's some that showcase that she can sing, and there's some stuff that just lets her kind of like be weird and crazy. And
yeah.
So I think her versatility probably helps. And really, I don't know. I mean, and it's also weird just in terms of how many, even though they cut or a bunch of people left the show, they still have a pretty big roster. So it's kind of like, depending on who's available too. Right. I mean, like Cecily Strong was in a lot of the episode, but she isn't always. I know.
I know we should move on to Willow, but I just want to mention this first before we do, because this reminded me of that. Kiki Palmer was in Masters of Sex for a little while. And I was looking at the cast list of that today. And it's crazy how many people are in Masters of Sex that went on to be like a bigger deal. Like Rose MacGyver was on there too. But Lizzie Kaplan was on Conan's podcast this morning. And she was talking about how it took, like, she auditioned and she was excited to be on the show, and she thought she would get the role, but it took like months for them to finally settle on it. And she said that somebody didn't want her to be on the show, and it wasn't Michael Sheen, which is why I looked at the cast and I was like, who else could it be? But I guess it must have been the woman I've heard, Caitlin, maybe.
Wait, like an actor didn't want her on the show? Because she was the female lead.
Yeah.
So it had to be a writer or a director. Like, it had to be somebody creative. Like, I don't think if it's not Michael Sheen, I don't think there's another cast member that would outrank her.
No, that's true. So I don't know. I don't know.
There must have been a producer or somebody, like somebody at the network or something that was like, not, we can't lead a show with Lizzie Kaplan.
Yeah, I guess that's probably true. Anyway, it just got me looking at the cast, and it's like, you know, a lot of people that became bigger later.
Oh, that was before iZombie.
Yeah. And like Jocko Sims, who's like a big deal on New Amsterdam, was on there. And Finn Rittrock, who's like a Ryan Murphy guy now.
Yeah. Michael Sheen, who fine. He's doing fine.
Josh Charles.
Yeah. Did you watch Masters of Sex?
No.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, it's a really good show. Yeah,
I've never seen it.
It's good. It's about sex.
But not the sex lives of college girls.
No, no.
Right.
It's about the science of sex.
Oh, well, that sounds very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Willow before.
The duck quacked, Dustin.
We'll have Damn to talk it, about I need Willow to hear next about week. Willow. No, there's nothing. You're never going to watch Willow.
I'm not going to, but I want to know what you thought of it all the same.
Everyone hates it. I didn't think it was terrible. Which I think is becoming my line, right? Like,
is that your brand now?
I think it's my brand. I'm like, why is everyone so upset? It's fine. I've rewatched the movie, and the movie is delightful. And the show is a little messy, I think, but could come together. I think it's a little hard to tell from the first two episodes, but you know, they have to write around the absence of Val Kilmer. Mm-hmm. Val Kilmer's character. So they've kind of created this mystery where he like left the kingdom at some point in the past. And so like the main characters are, so at the end of Willow, like he hooks up with the princess and they had killed, the evil queen. And so the princess and Mad Mardigan, like apparently they become king and queen. They take over this kingdom. They have twins. And there's a new evil coming from outside of the kingdom, and it's been foretold in prophecies. And this is what the baby Alora Dannon is supposed to, you know, help with, but they hid the girl. So she never learned magic. And that's why Willow got mad at them way back when, and like stomped away. Like was, you're not going to let me train this girl. Like, you know, you're all dead to me kind of thing. So he like stomped away into the woods, went back to his village. And you're finding all of this out in like flashbacks. And basically what happens is the evil shows up, they kidnap the twin brother, the prince. And so now the princess wants to go find him, puts together a little team. His girlfriend, the prince was kind of very Val Kilmer-y in the movie. Like, you know, he's just hooking up with chicks left and right, but he's kind of hooking up with this cook from the castle, the muffin girl. And she decides to tag along. And it turns out when they go to find Willow, and Willow's like, you're Alora Dannon. So she's never known. So they have to teach the muffin girl how to do magic. And so like, it's just kind of ridiculous. And everyone in it is not super likable yet, which is, makes it sort of interesting, because that's also sort of a Willow thing. Like everyone was kind of annoying. It's just that there's a bigger cast of annoying people. But I still found myself kind of rooting for them. And I think it's interesting how Willow, you know, you're kind of seeing that he's in the original movie made him very kind of noble, but you know, he was sort of the underdog just because he didn't know anything, but he had the like heart of gold kind of, you know, he was courageous. And in this, you're kind of seeing, okay, he's older and it's kind of the old Luke thing. It's like, oh, well, he's not the hero anymore. He actually screwed quite a few things up and he's trying to redeem himself. The princess is in love with a woman who is played by, blanking on the girl's name, but she was the bad guy in Winter Soldier, in Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Oh, the one from Star Wars?
No, she has like the curly red hair.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so she plays like a knight.
Yeah, she was in Star Wars, too.
What Star Wars?
Either Rogue One or the Han Solo movie. I forget.
Oh, I haven't seen
that. The one with a robot. And Phoebe Waller-Bridge played the robot.
I think that was Solo, right? That's Solo. I did not see that.
Okay.
So.
Okay. She's in that, too. She was like the best part of that movie.
Yeah. So she's great. And I was convinced she was going to be Alora Dannon. I think that was like the little switcheroo they do. Because you're like, oh, redheaded girl, like it's going to be her. And then it turns out it's not. So she is like training to be a knight. And like there's all this like kind of squabbling between her and the princess because they're totally in love. But like the princess is selfish and she's like going to follow she's bound to protect Ballora or whatever. So there's all, you know, there's potential. The evil is ill-defined, but it always was. It's kind of a goofy adventure thing. I think what's tough is that I think it actually follows the tone of the original movie better than people give it credit for. It's just that tone doesn't always age very well. And so it's kind of like we cut the movie a lot of slack because it was fun and there's nostalgia and it is great. And it's just, is this going to build on our affection or is it going to be too much of an awkward fit? Like, are they not updating it enough? I do think that they're missing something. And I think that something is ultimately the kind of what made the original Willow so much fun was that you had a Val Kilmer performance in it, like him being completely batshit and slapsticky and like so off the wall, which was not something that you would expect in that kind of movie. And nobody is doing that yet. We don't have that level of kind of like unexpected fun happening in the midst of all of the fantasy. So
really have to appreciate the versatility of Val Kilmer back in the 80s.
Oh my gosh.
Just insane.
Like that movie, I forgot, like rewatching it. I was like, oh yeah, there's the whole thing where he's like dressed up as a woman and then they escape. And so like for like a whole chunk in the middle of the movie, he's got a skirt tied into pants, like a pink, like harem pants sort of thing that was just a skirt and no shirt on. And like, you know, and he's falling around and getting knocked over. And yeah, he did so much in that movie that made it fun. And I also don't know, and it's too early to see, like the other thing about what made the movie work was that it would veer so hard into some really horrific elements that kind of pushed what you could do in a children's movie. And there's been no, I mean, there's some, the bad guys are kind of creepy, but nothing that is too scary yet. So I don't know if the kind of creature design and some of those elements are going to build up, but mm-hmm. I'm going to keep watching. It has potential.
But you're also saying that if you were indifferent to the original Willow, there's not a reason to check this one out.
There, yeah. If you never saw the original movie or if you like weren't really a fan of it in the first place, like this is not going to,
okay.
This isn't going to win you over.
All right.
Even like the way they kind of try to recap the movie, the show is very much banking on you having recently seen the movie because like they do like a mini recap, but it's nothing. It's the most heartwarming part of it is I think they got the actual actress who played Willow's daughter when she was like a little thing in the original. And it's so there are a lot, and there actually are a lot of returning cast members. Joanne Whalley or whatever her name is, who played the, you know, Sorsha, she is the queen in this, like she's back. So, and obviously Warwick Davis. Yeah. But yeah, if you were not a fan of the movie, there is nothing about this show that will ever appeal to you.
Good. Then I can cross it out.
Yeah. I hope it gets not better Dan, though. I hope it gets better.
Dan loved the original.
Huge Willowhead.
I vaguely remember it and get it confused very much with
Cocoon is what I confuse it with. Weirdly.
No, what?
Why?
I know. That's insane.
Labyrinth. Labyrinth is what I can confuse.
Okay. No.
No. Come on. No. Labyrinth wasn't any good either. Stop it.
No. Labyrinth was amazing. What the hell?
No. None of those movies were good.
No. Okay. No.
How dare there you? Is,
yeah. How dare you? Labyrinth was the best one. I don't think you fully appreciate the impact that David Bowie's spandex parts had on an entire
Labyrinth
generation.
Was the one with, wait, that was
Jennifer Connelly.
Tom Cruise was in Legend or Labyrinth?
Legend.
Legend.
Legend was trash. It was very pretty trash. And Tim Curry was wonderful in it. Labyrinth was Jennifer Connelly and David Bowie and defined my entire personality and love of puffy shirts with little vests. And then there's Willow. Yeah, there was a bunch of, and Neverending Story was probably
And Neverending Story,
big.
Which I remember
That's
distinctly.
The only one I cared about.
But I don't know that I actually understood, like I haven't seen it since I was a kid. And I don't think I ever actually understood what was happening. So, like, if I tried to explain it, I kind of only half get it. Like, I'm sure
I recently rewatched it with the kids because I remembered it so fondly. And it's darker than I remembered.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remembered it being terrifying. No, I mean, aside from the nothingness.
Yeah.
And the horse dying.
Mm. Yeah, that was not as sad this time as I remembered it when I was a kid. But the rest of the movie is just much darker.
Yeah.
I don't like The Dark Crystal. I don't like Labyrinth. I don't like that.
I loved Labyrinth because I loved it when I was a kid and it was one thing. And then I would watch it every few years and there were the jokes that you pick up on as you get older that like when you were a kid you missed. So like in Labyrinth, the first time you meet Hoggle, he's pissing in a pond and killing fairies. And that's like early in the movie. That is as soon as like she gets, you know, it's like that is the first time you meet one of the main characters, like her compatriot, her companion on this journey. He's literally pissing into a pond. And I was just like did not pick up on that when I was five.
Yeah, I felt the same way about Stephen Wright stand-up comedy specials. Like every few years I'd pick up a little more. I didn't understand that was seven, but when I was nine I got those jokes. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'm missing a buttonhole. Where am I going to find a buttonhole? Stephen Wright was the best. Just the best.
He was.
Dead, Dustin.
What?
Is he?
No, he's not.
Yeah.
No, he's not. He's not dead.
So why are you saying?
I'm sorry. Just was as in like back then. I don't know what he does now, but.
I did appreciate in Half-Baked where he was just the guy on the couch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That sounds
good,
like
that's a good Stephen use Wright. Of him.
Yeah. God, I love that guy.
Okay, well, I'm glad we can agree on that.
Yes. All right.
Dustin,
he's been in Legend or Legion.
He's still a person, Dustin.
In Legion? Good. No, not Legion. So wait, did you like Legend or no?
No, I didn't like any of them except for a little bit Never Ending Story. I love Princess Bride, but like the other ones I just didn't like.
Princess Bride. Princess Bride was probably objectively the best, but then Labyrinth.
I think people of that age gravitate and have favorites for no real reason other than that they were young and when they saw them and they're very impressionable.
Yeah. And you watch them a lot and they just.
Yeah.
And that's what we really need to reserve nostalgia for. Mm-hmm. Not just anything. It's stuff that imprinted on you when you were like 5 years old.
Well, Dustin, Stephen Wright played Vegas this year. So he's still doing his
thing. Good, good. He's probably telling the same jokes. I got powdered milk. I know. I got a box of powdered water. It just says, just add water. I can't do it. The Stephen Wright delivery, but man, the guy was clever.
All right. Well, that's the show.
I would go to school and I would steal all of his jokes.
That's the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, Dustin, I understand what you mean. I mean, I really loved Stephen Wright's comedy also, but he was kind of almost a little bit before my time. Like, I feel like the comedian who filled that gap for my age was Mitch Hedberg. Not that they're the same, but just in terms of like that, like that was the comedian who was like in kind of the deadpan lane.
That,
you know, when I was available to listen to comedy. Yeah. But, you know, Sandler really changed the game. So, I mean, with his comedy.
With the musical performances on top of.
With the Riverdoo. All right, that's the show. Time to go. The buzzer went off many minutes ago.
So long ago.
We'll be back next week, I'm sure, with more TV. Maybe I will have had Arby's by then. Who knows?
Big Montana.
Find one.
Big Montana. I'll just go and order Big Montana and they'll be
Dan's
like, what are you talking
stack
about?
Of drive meat.
And have a good night.
Good night, everybody.